The fleeing stones, the fleeing stones, that wacky stone age family. They live in love and laugh at life, just like you and me. There's Fred and Wilma, Pebbles too. Just to name a few. Barney, Betty, and Bam Bam too. Bringing a lot of laughs to you.
Welcome everybody to Sourced Material. I am your host, Jesse Starcher, and to start off 2017, we've decided to bring to you a set of interesting comics for discussion. DC has launched a Hanna-Barbera line of comics, one of which is The Flintstones, written by Mark Russell. Now, this societal, satirical commentary is not at all what I expected a cartoon comic from DC to be. So, by Mark Radulich's request, we are bringing our discussion of the first four issues to your ears in this three-part episode. Part one is our conversation about our history with The Flintstones property and what it was like when we used to watch them on TV. Now, don't forget to give that Radulich and Broadcasting Network Facebook page a like to stay up on top of all the great podcasts that we have to offer. You can find us at your convenience on blogtalkradio.com, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or iTunes. Just search Radulich to subscribe to the network that Source Material is a part of. If you would like to follow me on Twitter, you can do so by finding me at Stiznarkey. Also, the show's Twitter is at SourceMatCast. Without further yabba-dabba-doo, Bonnie, give me my Fruity Pebbles! The Hangout on air is live right now. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Source Material. I have started a live stream on YouTube, according to Twitter, and it's good, because I meant to do that. Tonight, Source Material on the Radulich and Broadcasting Network is bringing to you... this is going to be a fun topic, fun discussion. Fun. We're all going to be respectful of each other's beliefs and commentary here. We're not going to intentionally say anything to upset anybody or insult anyone. Well, when I say
I'm on the run, says you. I'm on the run.
Says you.
I don't know what hippie loving you put me on, but that's not why I came here.
Yeah. No. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen. The gentleman that I have on the podcast here tonight, Mark Radulich, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good. I'm starting to recover from the plague.
You sound a lot better than you did about a week ago. That's for sure.
It's funny. I just listened to the Metal Hammer of Doom year-end show where my voice was dying before the rest of my body. My father, I've said this before, but my father saying that Johnny Cash didn't sound like he was going to finish Bridge Over Troubled Water before dying.
Mm-hmm.
And I sound like that on the podcast. I sound like I'm not going to make it to the end of the podcast.
Yeah, dude, you powered through that thing because I remember sitting there going, it won't be long. He's not going to. It's going to be over with. We got like five more songs to go. I don't know what's going on. But
it won't be long until Mark is dead on air.
Me and Coop got to pick it up.
No, I will. I will. If I die, I will come back and write a new schedule.
In memoriam, Mark Radulich.
Now,
in 2018, make sure that you do this on this date. Yeah. Oh, okay. Mark Radulich from Beyond the Grave. Go ahead, Ronnie.
I was going to say, I enjoyed listening to it, and it's really inspired me to be more organized. But you all picked right before the show to do a year of a schedule, Mark. A whole year. And I'm sitting here twiddling my thumbs going, yeah.
Mark, we love you, man. Thank you much for taking the time and actually scheduling all that out.
Absolutely.
That does take a lot of the burden off of my shoulders. So that way I know what content to go for.
You spoil him, sir.
I'm happy to plan someone's life out for them because my wife won't let me do it to her.
Understandable.
I try to plan out like vacations and places to go and movies to see and all these things to do with her. And she's like, I got to get to the end of, I'm still at work. Leave me alone.
It's just one more hour, please. That's all I have. Ronnie Adams, buddy. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Let's just talk about the genesis of how this came about. Yeah, Ronnie's getting his Uggs, ahs, and sighs in.
No, I'm just getting comfortable.
You're going to be hearing that a lot tonight. This topic tonight that we're going to be talking about caught fire a couple months back. I'm a big fan of the iFanboy podcast. I listen to that, one of the more popular comic book podcasts that's out there. One of the comics that they kept bringing up as pick of the week was Flintstones. For the life of me, I was like, what in the world are these guys talking about? What is the big deal? You know, as they kind of pitched it a little bit, you know, they don't cover it like we do in depth. They just kind of give a brief, this is what's going on in this book and why you should read it. As they were talking about it, I noticed that a lot of the subject matter that was being approached in a DC Comics Flintstones book was something that I never would have expected to happen in the first place. Finally, I kind of bit the bullet and I was like, okay, well, I want to check one of these issues out. And I happened to check out I just read issue 4, like right off the cuff. And we're going to get to the particulars of that issue. But immediately after reading it, I said, okay, I think I reached out to Ronnie first. Mm-hmm. I said, dude, I said, have you heard anything about the Flintstones? And of course, I don't think you had heard anything about it.
No.
And I said, well, you got to, hey, check these out. I'll get the opportunity, give them a good read. And then I went to Mark Ratledge, who has been on this program many times. I just want to say my impression, Mark, is that you definitely enjoy reading the superhero stuff. But I've never had the opportunity to sit down and talk to you about much of an independent book or a book that kind of falls outside of the superhero genre. We haven't done anything like that, have we, before?
No, the last time I read anything independent was when I was actively reading comic books in high school, and I was reading the Dark Horse stuff, and I mostly stuck with the Aliens and Predator
titles.
Books. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually picked up over the Christmas holiday the DC Comics Dark Horse shared title of Aliens. It's got the various, it's a collection of the various crossovers between Aliens and the DC. DC superhero, you know, Batman and Superman.
Dude, does it have Alien? No, wait, I'm sorry. That's Aliens. Okay, that's fine. I haven't read any of those. If it has Predator versus JLA, I was going to offer my condolences for having to read through that piece of crap. That you know, you can stay. That is actually, I covered that here on the show.
One of the first shows I listened to.
Oh my gosh. And Stephen Marsh's favorite. So, We hadn't had a chance to talk about Flintstones or, you know, me coming to Mark saying, hey, read a Scooby-Doo comic book. I didn't know what his reaction would be. So I said, Mark, you got to read issue 4. And he's like, okay, well, I want to read 1 through 4. I said, well, dude, you don't have to. And then this was just a suggestion. I just wanted to get his opinion. I didn't want to do a show about it. That wasn't my intention at first. So I said, I just want to get your opinion. I want you to read this and throw it back at me, because I didn't know if he'd ever seen anything like this in a comic book before. I just picture Mark sitting there with all his superhero books all around him and not kind of venturing out into the world. I know that's probably not the case, but I decided to make him do so. And so when he came back with me, he's like, look, I want to read issues 1 through 4 and we need to discuss it. And I said, okay, well, I have no problem with that. We'll do that on the show. And he says, we're going to do it the first show of 2017. I said, all right, then. We will go ahead and do that. No problem. So tonight is the result of all of that right there. It went from iFanboy to my ears to Ronnie's ears to Mark's ears. Ronnie, by the way, I call him an unwilling participant in this, because if he could, he would probably be clipping his toenails, washing his hair right now.
Let me tell you how it came to be that Ronnie read these.
Okay. Please.
Ronnie was sitting at his chair one night. All of a sudden, he gets a Facebook message from Jesse saying, hey, have you read the Flintstones? And I said, no, I didn't realize there was a new Flintstones comic out. He said, well, you need to read these. You need to check them out. I said, okay. So I read issues 1 through 4.
I know where this is going.
And I came back to him, and I gave him my particular opinion, which you'll hear later. And I said, this, you know, I read them all. Here's my opinion. What did you think of them? Holy crap, you read them all? I haven't even read the first one yet. So you had me read all of them.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Without even reading really one of them.
Hey, from my fanboy's mouth to my ears, by golly, Ronnie Adams. And yeah. I said, it's got to be just from what they, how they were describing it. Was that amazing? I was like, you guys have got to read these things and tell me what you think.
And then I told you what I thought.
Maybe I get to it later. But, okay. So that's going to be our discussion tonight. We're going to be talking about the first four issues of the Flintstones. Now, the way I've got it, I put a lot of the load and the burden on Mark tonight is he's got two talking points that he's going to bring up. I think he has issues 2 and 4.
You didn't give me the one I wanted.
Oh, you're more than welcome to chime in with whatever you want to
say. You can have them all.
That does not surprise me coming out of it.
Your empire of dirt.
Yeah, I'll take the first one. I'm going to do a recap on every single one of them and let you guys fly with a discussion point, and then we'll give our final thoughts. So let's just first off, round table, all right, Flintstones. Let's talk about the property first. Flintstones broadcast from September 30th, 1960 to April 1st, 1966 on ABC. Anybody out there, them young whippersnappers that don't know what a Flintstone is, the Flintstones was an animated TV show. It was a comedy and it came out on prime time, which was kind of a big deal.
Animated. That's cute.
It's a cartoon. I mean, it was definitely a cartoon.
Well, most of the characters were animated. The backgrounds, maybe not so much.
I'm just saying, I mean, you know, when look, you're talking to a 2017 audience, Jesse Starcher. And to them, animated means something much different than what animated was way back in the prehistoric times of the 1960s.
Yeah.
Basically a lot of matte paintings and the crude drawings, you know, a limb would move here or there.
Maybe.
It was, it was very much like the high point of animation from Walt Disney Studios, you know, giving you Snow White. This was a guy being a newspaper cartoon in front of a camera.
Well, actually, all three of us here are pretty much around the same age. Mark, do you remember watching this show, which clearly was reruns at the time?
It's not born in the 60s.
You were not born in the 60s. What do you remember here about the Flintstones?
I used to watch the Flintstones all the time. You got to remember the Flintstones were part of the Hanna-Barbera lineup. And, you know, Hanna-Barbera had a lot of different outlets to put out their cartoons. You know, there was, of course, the Laugh Olympics, if you'll remember.
Oh, yeah.
There was, what was the car one, the one that South Park made fun of? The Wacky Races. There was Wacky Races. And, you know, of course, there were the Jetsons. You had the Flintstones. You had Yogi Bear and his pal Boo Boo. You had the Hong Kong Phooey. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
Too, right? You know, you had Huckleberry Hound. There were all these different characters. A lot of them had their own show.
El Cabong.
That's right.
Wow.
Good old Jeff Jarrett.
Cartoon Network brought these guys back like in the early 2000s, I think, or maybe it was the late 90s, because the El Cabong stuff, I remember specifically seeing commercials between, I don't know. I'm fairly certain it was on the Cartoon Network. It was in between, you know, like Courage the Cowardly Dog. I remember watching a lot of those when Kira was little. And catching those commercials. But anyway, go ahead, Mark. Sorry.
No, I absolutely watched a lot of Flintstones. I mean, I don't remember it being like my favorite or anything. I don't remember it Flintstones was must-see viewing. But you have to remember, now, I want people to try to imagine a world without remote controls. Where you have
dials? Don't you say dials and antennas or something like that? That's crazy.
Rabbit ears.
I want you to
picture a time before digital cable, analog cable, and you had a cable box that was this plastic thing that was made to look like wood for some odd reason, and it was made to look like wood via a sticker that was made to look like wood. You remember that?
Oh yeah.
And it had like three levels, and you had to click on each level in order to change channels. I must be blowing some kid's mind right now. They're like, I don't even understand what you're saying. But the point that I'm trying to get across is that if you were sitting down on the floor or on the couch or on your mom's bed watching TV and the Flintstones came on, you might just have to watch the Flintstones or actually get up.
It's true.
And if one thing hasn't changed since the 1980s, it
Flintstones is staying on that TV.
You're goddamn right. So I watched a lot of Flintstones just because it was on, basically. But I'll tell you, as we talk about this and as I think back to memories of watching TV as a kid, I actually remember like a lot of that humor, a lot of those jokes, and a lot of the music in the background. You know, I don't know if anyone knows this, but I do a metal podcast. It's on the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network. I should know the name of my own network. For over 10 years, grinding your gears. here on the Jeff Broadcast Network. Anyway, but I've always been inclined sort of pay attention to music. And you know, with the Flintstones, it was always a sort of that slide whistle, or chimes or something. There was always some light music always in the background of the Flintstones that to this day I still remember, especially if there was a joke being made. If it was like a dumb, you know, sort of granddad type of joke, usually at the expense of one of the appliance animals, you always have that wah, 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 wah.
And, like, you know, if the can opener said something.
Right. Yeah. Oh, it's a living, huh? You know. And then they would fade out. I remember that distinctly.
Oh, man. Ronnie Adams, how about you, dude? What Flintstones, man?
I was a big Hanna-Barbera fan back in the day. I'd watch the Flintstones. I'd watch Super Friends, Johnny Quest, all that stuff from back in the day. The Herculoids.
I love the Herculoids.
Yeah.
With that little yellow blob snot monster.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
Hang on one second. My wife has no idea what we're talking about, right? She has no idea what the fuck Herculoids are. All she knows is I turned away from my computer, looked at her, went. I'm going to give her the mic for one second. What did you say?
Is there a fatwaing going on in here?
Wow.
Apparently we're going to war? I don't understand.
Oh my gosh.
I just like the fact that my wife thinks we're all Al-Qaeda now. Hang on. Now, you guys keep talking. I'm going to bring up the Herculoids for her.
Yes. Ronnie Adams, Herculoids.
Well, naturally, you know, Flintstones always came on with all that stuff too. And so I like the Flintstones. I'm right there with Mark, you know, the cheesy humor, the bad jokes, all that is just something that was part of your childhood. So I enjoyed the Flintstones. There were some episodes I liked better, you know, as it went along, it kind of, you hate to say that the Flintstones jumped the shark, but they kind of did. And the old episodes were always better than the newer ones. But you were right. I mean, it was just like somebody shaking a newspaper in front of the camera. But that's what gave it its simple beauty. You know, it was all about the writing, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it spawned a lot of spinoffs. You were talking about a lot of the newer episodes. I can remember watching a good bit of those. Like when I think the kids grew up a little bit and became teenagers. But yeah, as for myself, for some reason, I'm thinking it was part of some kind of weird lineup on TBS, like at between 5 and 6 or something.
Probably.
I could be absolutely wrong. I mean, this thing was syndicated all over the place. I don't recall it ever being watching the original 60s Flintstones anywhere else other than on TBS in a rerun format. That sticks out in my mind, and I could be wrong. I remember watching it and enjoying it. And, oh, dude. Do you remember the crossover? Didn't they have a crossover that came out on video, direct to video, and I still haven't watched it, but I remember going to the video store and going, I've got to get a hold of that. And it was the Flintstones crossing over with the Jetsons.
Oh, I thought you meant the Flintstones crossing over with WWE.
We watched that.
I don't recall that. That happened?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Wait, you didn't know that the WWE did a whole thing with the Flintstones?
No, I saw the Scooby-Doo one.
John Cena Rock.
No.
Vince McMahon rock.
Yeah. Oh, for Pete's sake.
The Rock rock.
No,
I don't know if that really
under rock. Yeah, we rented that for my son.
I had no rock. Idea.
John Rock.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and the whole thing was basically like Fred becomes like a shitty independent wrestling booker promoter, and eventually like it just gets out of hand and he loses all his money, and then Vince McMahon I think steals the idea from him.
Oh geez.
Yeah, it's great.
That's something I'll have to check out there because I had no idea that even existed. That is crazy. Well, okay, so we kind of went around the table, talked about our experience with the Flintstones, property from the 60s. That's, I saw on the wiki there, it says it became, or it still is, the number two. I don't know if it still is, but I would assume that that hasn't changed. The number two cartoon just behind The Simpsons. So very, very interesting piece of trivia there.
You would really have to not be alive very long or not have any knowledge of American culture.
Have a head.
To not know what the Flintstones are. They are an embedded part of this culture.
I was going to say that it really set a precedent, specifically being a show, a primetime, you know, cartoon. I want to say the only way it would survive primetime, but really, I don't think it was as cutthroat as things are definitely are 50 years later. Wow, we're talking 51 years since it went off the air. That's crazy. But, I mean, for a cartoon to be on prime time, I just didn't think that would be something you would normally see. The Simpsons is the first thing that comes to mind when I think of primetime cartoons.
Well, you also got to remember that the long tail of media has changed sharply without getting too high, specific or into the minutia. It basically example of what they mean by like a long tail. So there were three networks 100 years ago, right?
ABC. I think an ABC, NBC, CBS, right?
Okay, right. So if you think about just the continental United States, there were three channels that they could watch. Most of the world, most of the culture was in tune to these three channels. If you wanted to reach people, that was how you did it. The course of the amount of people you could reach through certain venues changes over time the more channels you add. So now if you're just talking about television, let's leave the internet out of this because this is going to get too complicated. But if you think about the amount of channels that are now available through, let's say, digital cable subscription, so let's say Time Warner, right, being a prime example of one, and let's just take the primary channels. Let's not get into HD mirrors, okay? So there's, what, 500 at a minimum?
Sure.
Before you start getting into the mirror, that's 500 channels versus three. So if you think about it in terms of a gradient, in terms of a graph, right, you have most amount of people sort of shoehorned into these three channels, amount of people, because the population really hasn't changed. But now you're spread it over 500 channels as opposed to three. That's the long tail.
Ah, okay. So you're potentially, would you say potentially diluting your audience by doing that?
Right. If you think about the amount of people that watch a particular channel now versus the potential amount of people that could have been watching 50 years ago are gotten smaller.
Okay.
My mom talks about when there was three channels on the TV, she hated Saturday nights because my grandfather would always watch boxing. Then she got to like it because that was the only thing that was on.
I see.
So when she was a little girl, she would watch boxing. As it went along, you know, they found out, you know, more channels means more programming, more, you know, more things to watch, more choices. So they stopped airing certain things because it didn't, you know, nobody really cared about it anymore. So they kind of went to more, you know, just more, 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 more. I want more. I want more. People who would watch those three stations would veer off and watch other things.
So here's what is the long tail of marketing? The theory of the long tail is that our culture and economy is increasingly shifting away from a focus on a relatively small number of hits, mainstream products and markets at the head of the demand curve and toward a huge number of niches in the tail.
I see.
The Flintstones was, you know, its popularity and its accessibility was at the high end, the tail.
I gotcha.
Yeah, now, you know, and while it's still out there in the culture, I mean, really, if you put the Flintstones on right now as a brand new product that no one had ever heard of before, how popular do you think it would be?
Yeah.
Same, you know, same content, or at least the same idea. I mean, let's take a modern day example of the Flintstones. Let's take the Family Guy. you know, yeah, the Family Guy certainly has an audience, but it's got a lot of competition just in that time slot alone, just on television.
Yeah, so. I got you. All right. Very good explanation. But let's talk about our writer here, Mark Russell. First time I've ever heard of this guy was this year. You know, just like I said on the other podcast, listening to that, they brought this guy's name up. However, I had heard them talking about another book that he had done last year, and they said it was very, it was somewhat interesting to read, a book by the name of Prez, and I think it was also done by DC. Prez was about this kid, like 17-year-old kid, I think, that got put into the presidency because one of her videos had gone viral. It takes place into the future, so I guess apparently you can vote by Twitter, and people... This video she put on there went viral, got so popular, they actually voted her into president. That's the concept behind Prez.
Yeah, we're not so far off from that.
Take that for what you will. And he's done a couple other things. I think Apocrypha Now was a book that he had written about the books that were not put into the Bible. He also had a book called God is Disappointed in You. So we could tell right off the bat, we're getting into, this is a writer that has had his hand in, I'll just say, taking shots at things that are somewhat held sacred by other people. So he has no problems doing that. And so DC's like, hey, let's give this guy, he did such a good job with Prez. A lot of people were impressed with what he had done. They had said, okay, well, we're going to go ahead and give him the reins to the Flintstones. Now, this is all over YouTube. If you guys go check out the interviews that Mark Russell has done, I had actually heard them talk about this on iFanboy as well when they interviewed him. You know, DC comes to him and says, hey, are you interested in doing the Flintstones? And he says, well, I'm not too up on the whole Flintstones thing. He says he remembers watching it when he was a kid, but he certainly does not remember it being something that he enjoyed. And so he didn't know if he could do well on the subject matter or even do something that DC, he didn't think he was the man for the job. Dan DiDio, which is the guy who gave him a call, says, well, look, you're perfect because you're going to have free reign. We're going to give you some guideposts, some things you can do, some things that you know, just kind of guide your way into the continuity and things like that. But the rest is all open. It's up for grabs. That way, since you're not too bound by the knowledge of what's come before in the Flintstones, then you're the perfect man for the job. So DC was like really taking a risk, letting this guy take a property over. We just talked about how popular this show was. You know, can you say, hey, here you go. Here's all these characters. Go for it. I don't know if I would want to do that. That's really taking a risk, in my opinion. So we get the Flintstones. Okay, up first. Let's, you know, I'm going to break down the characters here for you. We got Fred, Wilma, Barney, and Betty. Fred is our main character. He's the, he's your everyday husband, father to Pebbles. And married to Wilma. Barney is Fred's best friend. Betty is Barney's wife. And Bam Bam is Barney and Betty's son. So there's your six pretty key characters to the Flintstones. We got the Flintstones family and their friends, the Rubbles. Barney, Betty, and Bam Bam. Real quick. Yeah.
Have you ever heard the Flintstones album?
The album?
Yeah.
I don't think I have.
I'm going to try to find it.
If you got it on Spotify, yeah, find it on Spotify and send me a link. Oh, that's awesome. Alvin and the Chipmunks have one, so I imagine the Flintstones has probably got one out there, too.
So do the Turtles.
All I know is that the Flintstones actually do, I think they do a cover of, like, A Spoonful of Sugar. But I remember, like, the opening to it is this a groovy disco, the Flintstones, the Flintstones, and it's awesome.
You know, we sit here and I was talking about the, you know, do these young whippersnappers know who the Flintstones are? And I just thought it just occurs to me that, hey, Fruity Pebbles, Jesse, he's on the box of every cereal, Fruity Pebbles, Cocoa Pebbles, Bonnie. And John Cena, of course, brought back Fruity Pebbles there for a little while, and the Flintstones vitamins, which
the worst.
We will be talking about those here, as a matter of fact.
Sir.
I can't think of any other branding other than, of course, the famous smoking ad, which apparently was one of the things that they ran back in the 60s where I think like...
Well, everybody smoked back then.
Fred, I think, is doing some kind of a...
Winston cigarettes.
Is it really? Yeah. Wow. So there is an animated ad out there for cigarettes back when this show hit popularity. That was bad news. And that is a wrap on part one of our three-part Flintstones coverage. Our next episode is planned to air this Friday with part three rounding us out on Monday, January 17th. So until then, listeners, have a gay old time!